Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Hey, it's JD here, and it's go time. The Ultimate Superfan Challenge kicks off today, and I need you to nominate the most tragically hip obsessed person you know. Could be your concert hopping cousin Jack, your trivia boss roommate, or hey, maybe it's you. There's no shame in that game. If you or somebody you love eats, breathes, and dreams the hip, get that nomination in. Head over to bit.ly, the hip, USF 2025, and tell us why your pick deserves the crown. Nominations are open from June 15th to August 15th, and trust me, phase two of the challenge is where things really heat up. I'll get into that as we get closer to the date. So what do you say? Are you ready to test your mettle as the ultimate super fan of the Tragically Hip? Enter today.
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
Right before we recorded this, I checked my Apple Music count, and in 2024, I listened to It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken 97 times. I fucking adore this track. Claire from Ann Arbor, tell me about your feelings where this song is concerned.
Well, that is an impressive number of listens, and I completely agree with you. I'll never tire of this song. Can listen to it over and over and over, and I come back to the song a lot for different moods, different feelings, and it's just pretty flawless.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you week over week, where we're counting down 40 essential tracks by the hip that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and 7 pieces of Lego that I used to build a diorama of The Last Supper. How will your favorite songs fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Tragically Hip superfan Jillian from Palmerston. How the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day?
Well, I love the sunshine, and I actually love the cool air, so I'm great today.
It is a beautiful autumn day today. I can see the sun just beaming in on you, and I'm envious. I'm very envious. I'm going to go out to my patio right after this, probably.
I love my sunroom. This is where I live.
I bet. I would, too. Yeah. Well, Jillian from Palmerston, let's get right into things. Let's hear your TTH origin story.
Okay, so I was a little late to the game as a hip fan. I grew up on the Bruce Peninsula, and my twin brother, loved the hip along with other bands, and my twin brother and I didn't always see eye to eye on things, so I tended to not like the same music as him. I do have a vivid memory of him having a Trouble at the Hen House CD, and I was kind of interested in it, but like basically he thought it was cool, so I was like, no way. We've been like this. We're like 46 years old and we still are ridiculous that way, but
that's amazing.
So then through some misadventure, I had a baby when I was 17 and decided that it was time to go out on my own and prove to the world that I could handle it without my mommy's help. And so I moved to Newmarket to finish high school when I was 18. And so the thing about moving to Newmarket when you're used to a very small town is that it's just like a complete culture shock for a small town girl. So I was living in an apartment with a roommate and my 1-year-old son, and we were on a main thoroughfare in Newmarket, and every car that went past my house was like bass pumping music. It was all that like electronic stuff. And I was like, this is terrible. I don't like this at all. And so almost because I am prone to doing the absolute opposite of what other people around me are doing, I was like, well, I'm going to start listening to the Hip because, I mean, that's Bruce Peninsula music and I need to keep some Bruce Peninsula with me. So I...
That's great.
That's... My friends would tell you that I would... I'm always the person who does the exact opposite of what people tell me I should be doing. So it served me well in some places, in some areas, but in a lot of areas, it's been a challenge. So, but yeah, so I would have been about 18. And my cousin Dan also spent a lot of time on the peninsula with me, and they lived in Newmarket. I moved to Newmarket to be closer to my cousins because I was quite close to them. And so him and I had Up to Here, and we would listen to Up to Here quite a bit. So I would say, like, my very first Hip song that I remember hearing was New Orleans, which to this day remains one of my all-time favorites, and it flirts with the top three. Yeah. I mean, it's such a classic, right? So from Up to Here, I mean, this would have been 96, 97. And I remember we had been, I really, once I left my hometown, ended up the summer after spending as much time up there as I possibly could because I did, I missed it so much. And we were 19, so quite into our partying and bush parties and things like that. So I remember being at a bush party with a bunch of my friends, and we were just sitting out at a picnic table having some drinks, and we called the city them the Cityites. So these are the people who would come from like the big city of Owen Sound or somewhere like that and show up to a Bruce Peninsula party. And they there was something bass, or I think there was a Hip song playing at the time. And then these guys came in, and I guess they tried to get involved with the music selection, and they put on some bass pumping thing. And then I just remember hearing this big scuffle, and then the Hip came back on. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, the Peninsula people are a different breed, I suppose. I'm sure most people would say that about their hometowns, but it was like, I'm sorry, you're coming to our party, and you're trying to change our music. And I just remember it being a Hip song that came back on, and we were just sitting at the picnic table killing ourselves laughing because it's like, who do these people think they are? But
that's great.
So that would have been the summer I was 19. The first time I saw the Hip was when Phantom Power came out. So that would have been about the second album that I really started to listen to. And I saw them at the Hershey Center when Don Cherry owned the Ice Dogs.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was in like a small venue, too, for my first show, which I really quite enjoyed. And it was so funny because this is back in the day of like no cell phones or anything. And I had a co-op at the time. I was going to college in Barrie, and I had a pager for anybody to get a hold of me about my son who was at daycare. But my friend also had it. And we decided that we were going to go see the Hip together. But since I was working, she had to get the tickets. And so she said, if I get the tickets, I'm going to send you a pager with the 447, which was the letters for the Hip.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Like just, you know, the, what was it? The A, B, C, D. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was at work and all of a sudden my beeper went off and I saw the 447, and I worked at a great place. It was Nottawasaga Valley Conservation Authority, one of my favorite co-op positions I ever had. And I like jumped out of my chair and they're like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm gonna go see the Hip. And they were also very big Hip fans, and they thought that was like the coolest thing. So
of course.
So yeah, so then we drove to the city, and I mean, at the time I was a huge hockey fan. I love the Toronto Maple Leafs with my heart and soul. I have not watched it. I know it's it's horrible. I had to quit watching it. I quit watching when Matt Sundin left the team because he was my favorite, and I had just had my heart broken far too many times from those boys. But I was such a huge hockey fan, so like my life was hockey. And so as Mal and I are in the concert, it was Don Cherry and Don McLean, or Ron McLean, Don McLean, come on, Jillian. They came out on stage and they brought the Hip out, and it was incredible.
Wow.
Like I almost felt like I went into like this like crazed state because I was like, oh my gosh. Before Don Cherry became like a super unpleasant human being, I loved him. And so it was just so incredible for my first show. And obviously then I'm there and I start hearing all these songs and I'm like, I don't know the song. I don't know the song. I need to know all these songs. So as a result, I started to kind of accumulate more albums. I would say Fully Completely would have been my next one.
Good choice.
I loved Courage. Courage, oh, and Looking for a Place to Happen. Like, Looking for a Place to Happen became one of my theme songs in my 20s, I think. And then I was a bad person and I ended up pregnant again at 22 and Music at Work came out and I was, when I was pregnant with my daughter and I listened to it all the time and it got to the point actually when she was a baby that I could play any song off that album and she would go right to sleep. It's not one of my favorite albums now, but I do remember how much I loved it at the time and it was just on repeat and in my CD player and yeah, my daughter, Mary. One of those songs would come on and it could be like, what's the one? Freak Turbulence, which is like loud and whatever. And she'd just fall right asleep to it. So,
oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I ended up moving up to Gravenhurst. I finished college and I had a job in Huntsville as a property manager and I had a Rode Apple CD, and I swear to God, I must have played that thing every day for the 2.5 years I worked at that place. It was just my soundtrack to and from work. So
great CD.
Yeah, I found it at the time just to be so bluesy, I guess. And now that I've listened to it more, I figured, well, maybe it's not. Maybe I just don't have a lot of music sense. But it had a certain appeal to it as far as the music seemed to flow really well into each other. Each song, like it just really meshed well. And I just loved it. Like, again, like Long Time Running is one of my all time favorite songs. I love Cordelia.
Yeah.
I love Three Pistols. There's just so many good songs on that album. So I think I actually probably blew through 2 or 3 of those CDs in the time that I worked in Huntsville. And then I quit my job and decided to go back to university so I could be a teacher, and I was driving between Gravenhurst and North Bay a ridiculous amount of time because my kids were young at the time. And again, it was just like, what Help album can I listen to? And I think I was like on a rotation between like Up to Here some days, Road Apples, definitely Fully Completely. And those were the ones that got me through that hellish year of teacher's college.
Bat, holy.
What else can I say about the Hip? I have seen them 10 times. How much I love the Hip is that I had tickets with my boyfriend and we broke up and within like 2 weeks, he was already shacked up with somebody else. And he's like, well, can I give her your ticket? And I was like, you're not letting me go to my Hip concert. I was the one who arranged this. You didn't even like the Hip until you met me. So I sucked it up and I went to the amphitheater with him making out with his new girlfriend. So this is how much I love Ford. I know, it was ridiculous.
Holy shit.
The things I put myself through. But I love them so much, right? And so it was like, not to say that I had the greatest time ever, but to me, it was like, I guess it helps that I didn't really like the man very much anyways, as it turned out. And I had a really good friend at the time. Her and I had a lot of Hip adventures together. There was a tribute band in Barrie, or not in Barrie, but played in Barrie quite a bit. I think they were out of Acton, called the Practically Hip. And okay. I love them. They're still to this day my favorite tribute band I've ever seen. Like, the lead singer of any tribute band I've ever seen really had like Gord's mannerisms down.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, we used to we would go see them everywhere. We ended up driving down to St. Catharines one time just to see them at some dive bar in St. Catharines.
That's so cool, though.
We loved the music so much. Yeah. Right? So, and they did such a good job with all of the songs. And I remember this is back in my, I was telling one of my friends, I feel like that Tragically have been the soundtrack for very many of my bad decisions that I've made.
Oh, no.
But, but like, not in like a terrible way, but like we had a bar that we used to go to and I was a party girl and I just like to dance. And I, especially if it was the hip, I was like, yeah, I just wanted to be on the dance floor. And I'm a drinker and I was a smoker and I did all that stuff. And I remember being on the dance floor and some dude handed me a shot and I was like, cool, I'll do this. And I drank it and it was like straight tequila. And I was like, holy crap. I said, you got to warn a girl before that. And then all of a sudden the lead singer is pulling me up on stage and the bouncers are looking at me. I was like, dude, you're going to get me kicked out of here. And he hands me the banana. I don't know, like the shaky banana thing. Right. And he's like, and he starts playing, looking for a place to happen. He's like, do you know the words to the song? I was like, duh. And so I ended up on stage singing, looking for a place to happen. And then he did it a few more times, like
no
at different
fucking
shows.
Way.
Yeah, it was funny. It was just, and to me, like, I love stuff like that. I was like, oh, I mean, I don't care if I don't care if my voice sounds like trash. I said, I will sing my heart out to the Tragically Hip. So.
Oh, and people appreciate that. People appreciate when you're just up there giving her, you know?
Yeah. And it was just kind of funny. And like, and my friends thought it was funny. And I love things like that. Like, those are such great memories to me of like, you know, I mean, I'm 46 years old now. I have a horrible hip. I can't dance quite as much as I used to like to. But I had so much fun with them. And even like my little brother, so he's 10 years younger than me. And he decided that for my 29th birthday, he was going to take me to see the Hip in Barrie. And then I said, well, that's cool. You're turning 19 and the Hip's playing at the Key right after you turn 19. So I'm going to take you and your buddy to go see the Hip at the Key to Bala. And oh, which was, an, oh, it was so,
so jealous.
Good. Oh, it was
I was just
so
going to ask you, I was going to ask you what your favorite venue you saw them in was. I have to imagine Key to Bala would be up there.
Key to Bala was definitely up there. Actually, Wyarton, when they played the Wyarton Airport, because that's close to where I grew up, right? Like, I grew up in Lion's Head. And I remember when I saw this and I was like, what do you mean the Tragically Hip's playing at the Wyarton Airport of all places, right?
Right.
The beer gardens was a mess. He couldn't get drinks. He couldn't get anything. But man, he still just put on such a great show. And to be at that show, especially with a lot of people that I grew up with and like, we're running into people that I hadn't seen in years.
Oh, how fun is that?
It was incredible. And it was funny because my ex-husband who came with me, he didn't like the Hip, but he came and he kind of was miserable the whole time. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. I went and bought myself a World Container hockey jersey. And he's like, how much money did you spend on that? And I was like, it's my money. I'll spend what I want.
Yeah.
And anyway, but yeah, it was like with like my best friend that I grew up with was there, you know, so many people, and my twin brother came to that one. It was just such a great time being outside and being close to home, I think, because we went up there early, so we got to spend a whole bunch of time just out at the beach and hanging out with my friends, which made it the best experience of that way. As far as the people I went with, that was my tops, I would say.
There's also something about seeing them outdoors, right?
Yeah,
there's just something cool.
And I saw them at the amphitheater twice. I took my mom for a Canada Day show one year because my mom likes the Hip. I shouldn't say likes it. She loves the Hip. There used to be a joke on when we were listening to 100th Meridian. If 100th Meridian came on, there was a built-in sigh because when he says, I remember every single fucking thing I know. And she's just like, why does he have to say the F word? Like, it's okay, Mom. And this is a woman who loves the Trailer Park Boys. And I was like, I think you need to get over this now but yeah, so it was so funny. My friend and I took my mom and her boyfriend down, and like, my mom's like sitting there and there's like people smoking weed all around her. And she's just like, I said, Mom, you're probably going to get a little contact high, but that just goes with the territory and you'll be okay. But she had a great time. So,
oh, that's good.
So that was fun. And then I remember my little brother texting me and he said, hey, we haven't seen the Hip for a while. Should we see if we can find a show to go to? And so that would have been the Fully Completely tour.
Oh, right.
And,
okay.
And yeah. We ended up going to see them in Kitchener at a small venue at the Circle in the Square, I think it's called. And it was a great show. Like, they played the whole album. And then they played other songs as well. And it was, yeah, it was another one. It's like when
I saw them on the front and back of that tour. I went to the warm-up show at the Danforth Music Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went to the last show of that tour just randomly in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, so weird. It was a great tour.
I think it would have been so cool to go see them in the States, really. Like,
oh, yeah.
At those smaller places. I saw them at the ACC once or twice. I used to, when I was going to these concerts, I would make myself a t-shirt. So I always, my one was The Last of the Unplugged Gems, because my initials spelled gem. So I think I wrote the whole song out onto a shirt and wore it. And then I would take a Sharpie and I would get all the concert goers just to sign my t-shirt. So that's my concert tee. I don't know what happened to them. I wish I had them.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I know. I wish. They got lost in various moves that I've had. But yeah, I did that for a few concerts, and it would just be, I remember I was at a concert and I was the only girl with a group of, it was one of my boyfriends at the time and then all his friends. And so I was the only girl and I had to leave to go to the washroom and nobody was leaving. So I was like, well, if I get lost, I get lost. And sure enough, I got lost. So I just kind of walked up an aisle and a guy's like, hey, are you lost? And I said, yeah. And he's like, well, just sit here and we'll just, you know, watch the show here. I was like, okay. And he's like, I said, do you want to sign my shirt? And so he signed my shirt and then I was singing along with them. And then I looked up and I saw my boyfriend. I was like, oh, there he is. I can go now. I didn't ever feel unsafe with hip fans, which is a nice thing as a woman, you know, I didn't ever feel.
Yeah, you came into the game a bit later. I mean, I did too in the scheme of things. I came in around 1990, 1989.
Yeah.
But there were people that were following them around at that point. You know, yeah. Like all the way back then. And I've lost my point and I'm sorry.
Oh. About the safety with the hip people or?
Oh, yeah. It used to be a little bit more rough. It used to be a little bit more moshy and
I heard
a lot of dudes.
Did you do another roadside attraction?
I did. The 93 one and 95 one. Yeah.
Because I heard they could get a little.
Oh, yeah. And Gord would speak out. It was
Woody?
Great. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your go-to record these days?
Oh, so, okay. So I listened to your podcast, Getting Hip to the Hip.
Okay, yeah.
When it was out. I loved that. That thing saved my life at the time. I was on a mental health leave from my job and just like floundering. And I found that podcast and it was so cool because then I would, as you were going through the albums with the guys, I have the whole hip anthology. I bought it I probably right after Gord died, I bought the whole thing. So I have every single hip song on my phone. So as you were going through that, I would have a playlist going of whatever album you were doing that week. So I could kind of listen to it as you guys were going through it to kind of, you know.
That's so cool.
It exposed me to so many songs that I hadn't heard really or spent the time to listen to. So honestly, right now, Trouble at the Hen House, I didn't realize how much... How many good songs were on that album? And I said, like, that's the one that I said my brother had. I have a vivid memory of that CD sitting on my kitchen table.
Oh, right. Full circle.
Yeah. And so I heard so many songs off that. So I love it. I mean, Fully Completely has the majority of my favorite songs, which is funny because I wouldn't necessarily say that's my favorite album, but there's so many good ones on it. I really, really like World Container, but I have a hard time with it right now after watching the documentary because I thought Bob Rock was such an ass. Like,
pretty remarkable, wasn't it?
He comes off so smarmy and like just entitled, and I was just like, oh Gord, what were you thinking? But but I get it. It's like creativity and they wanted to go in a different direction, and I mean, you can't argue with it. It's a great album. Like, there's so many good songs on that. I love Fly. That song comes on and it's just, I think it became my new favorite song for like 6 months.
Really? Yeah, it is a good song.
It is. And I would say the only album I haven't really listened to is Man Machine.
Okay.
I want to spend some time with it, but I just haven't been able to get as into it as I did the other albums.
Right. It's a grower.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's some good output on that for sure.
Yeah. Well, then when Saskadelphia, when they released that, I had just got my Jeep. My Jeep is named Cordelia, by the way. It has to be. It had to be. And I remember my husband and I, we took like the roof and everything off my Jeep and we went for just like a cruise and we had Saskadelphia going. And it was just like, I had tears because I mean, this is obviously after Gord's died. and just to hear this stuff that had never been released before. And it was just so, it was so emotional. Like, I was sitting at my table just crying because I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's not fair. It's not fair that
you're right.
We don't get any more of this.
No.
So like these slow releases of other songs, you know, Devin, who, you know, we had met at a at an educational conference that we had taken kids to, and she was the one who introduced me to Get Back Again, which I have had, I could only get it on YouTube. So I would just watch it on YouTube whenever I could. And then I was thinking, because I knew like the new anthology was coming out, the book and everything. And so one day I had got to work and I was like, oh, I wonder if they've released it on iTunes yet. And sure enough, I went on and it was there, but it turned, it was the first day that they'd released it. And I don't know, like, it's so weird. Like, I call it the Church of Gourd. Like, there's so many things that happen with the hip that it's like, it's bizarre, but it's really nice. Like, it's really cool. Like, you know, I have a lot of anxiety issues, so I try to avoid the news. I don't really pay attention to what's going on in the world anymore because, you know, I had enough going on in my classroom and in my life. I don't really, I don't want to pay attention. And it was just so funny. And I sent Devin a text. I was like, holy, I said, I just got Get Back Again. And like, the version is gorgeous. I mean,
it's
oh man,
really
I
awesome.
Have listened to it. My little brother texted me and he said, I think this is my new favorite song. And I said, I feel bad that I didn't share it with you years ago because I've known about it since, I think it was 2017 when It was right after Gord died. So it was later October when Devin and I met. So, because that's how we bonded. They showed us a Rick Mercer's thing on Gord.
Oh, that's spectacular.
Yeah. And so her and I are the two teachers sitting at the table with tears running down our faces and we won't look at each other. And I was like, are you a hip fan? She's like, they're my favorite. And so we've been like besties ever since.
Bringing people together. I really love the Church of Gourd as well. That's a great expression.
Well, we were talking about it because like after when I got into that podcast, so I don't know if it's the way my brain works. Apparently I have ADHD. We're working on that one. But I can listen to the same music over and over and over again. So when I was listening to your podcast, I said I was going through a really rough time at the time. And I had a playlist of like my go-tos, and I swear to God, I listened to it in my Jeep for a year and a half. I think I finally started listening to other music in the summer a little bit. But it was
so just, this playlist was the only thing you like. I mean, it had enough songs on it, obviously.
Oh,
too.
There's so many hip songs, right? But yeah, so I would just put and I would just say, okay, what are you going to tell me today? Like, you know, it's just certain messages I look for in the music. And my one that really stands out is my little brother and I hadn't been getting along very well and hadn't talked in quite a while, and it was really, really bothering me because him and I are super close and like we are so much alike. I said, like, when I look at my hip experiences, he's been the one who has been with me for most of my hip experiences. Like, we did several concerts together. We were both at the last show in Toronto. And we just love, he introduced me to, the Glorious Sons, who sang the song Gordy, right? So he played that song, and that's one of mine. So him and I are so close, and I was kind of like, driving to work and throwing things around and being like, I don't know what to do. Is it time? And it had been a while since we had talked. And so I kind of was like, okay, universe, like I need something. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this situation. And then sure enough, the next song that came on is Are We Family?
No fucking way.
It's just like, that's what I was telling you. Like,
yeah,
I have crazy experiences with the hip. Like, it seems I get the song I need. And then again, right after that was Nautical Disaster, and that's my little brother's favorite hip song. So it was like, as soon
good
as I
taste.
Got... Yeah, well, he does. He's a hip fan, right? So he told me a couple of years ago, he's like, hey, you know, he's curling, and he was in Kingston at the time, he's just outside Kingston now, and he curls against, I think he said, Gord Sinclair.
Really?
And he was, or like, he's a couple of the guys who curl down there. And he's like, yeah, I curl against them all the time. I told you that. I said, you did not tell me that. I would have remembered that because I need to come and watch you curl one day. So it ended up, I went to work that day. And as soon as I got to work, I sent him a text and I said, I know this is going to sound bizarre, but Gord told me I should text you. So we ended up meeting up March break. We're working on that and it's happy. So like I credit my love of the hip with helping me to see things and helping me to reconcile with my brother. I think
that's pretty special.
Yeah, it really isn't. And like as soon as and it is, it was like I don't know if like I'm not. I wouldn't call myself like a super religious person because I'm not. I have a hard time with organized religion, but I do believe in the universe and I believe in the universe giving you signs and things. And to me, like that song coming on right when it did was like, it was perfect. It was just like, are we family? And like the whole, even the, like the lyrics in the song and it's just, yeah, it was wonderful. And
well, let's, oh, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I was going to say, well, let's shift gears a minute and continue to talk about perfect songs. Let's go back to the Church of Gord and examine one of the prominent hymns of the Tragically Hip. Does that sound all right to you?
It sure does.
Well, we'll be right back after this to do that.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
17.
Sundown in the Paris of the prairie, we kings of all treasures buried, and all you hear are the rusty breezes pushing around the weather vane Jesus. Simple lighter, he sees the killer's face. Maybe it's someone standing in a killer's place. 20 years for nothing, well, that's nothing new. Besides, no one's interested in something you didn't do. We can't. Let's just see what the morning brings. There's a dream he dreams where the high school's dead and start. It's a museum and we're all locked up in it after dark. The walls are lined all yellow, gray, and sinister, hung with pictures of our parents, prime minister. We kings and pretty things. We'll be right back. breaking story on the CBC. A nation whispers we always knew that he'd go free. They add you can't be fond of living in the past. Cause if you are, then there's no way that you're gonna last. We let's just see what tomorrow brings. We kings and pretty things. Oh, that's what tomorrow
Man, does this song pack a punch. Jillian from Palmerston, what did you think of Wheat Kings the first time you remember hearing it?
I think the first thing was the sound of the loons. I love the way the intro goes in. It's so calm and quiet, right? And I mean, just the acoustic starts up and then you start listening to the lyrics and it's so compelling. It's a story. And I always said this about a lot of the tragically hit music. I said that Gord Downie was an incredibly intelligent man, and I felt like he was on a mission to educate his fans. I mean, if you look at like Shakespeare references, there's just so many things. And then so, as I mean, with David Milgaard, that happened well before I was born. I do remember him. I vaguely remember him getting released, but when you listen to the song Wheat Kings, it kind of makes you want to dive deeper into.
Sure does.
What was that? What happened? And I do remember. I remember my impression of it being, yeah, it's a really sad story. Like, this is a guy who got convicted of a crime he didn't commit, and he spent 23 years in jail. And it's so funny because that song it's such a hopeful song, right? Like. As you keep listening to, right? Because it's like, wait and see what tomorrow brings, you know, like, you know, things look bad now, but you know, tomorrow's a new day. And it did.
Well, I love that reading.
Yeah. It had a very hopeful turn to it. And it's like that late breaking story on the CBC. And I like that you can't be fond of living in the past. Cause if you are, then there's no way that you're going to last. And I mean, it's like how to find healing after such an injustice, right? And it was funny. So that's my other Gord moment was when you told me what song I was going to have, and that was the last song that came on my playlist that day before I got to work. And I was like, that's so funny because I was wondering about that too because I like Wheat Kings. It's definitely, it's on my top 20 list. I love it so much. But I just kind of found it funny because I was like, well, like I didn't really feel like I had that deep of a connection to it. Okay. But then it's funny. So I was looking, doing some research last night on it, and I came across a quote from Gord about from the CBC in, I can't remember, I think the CBC released this quote in like 2016. So it must have been done or taken after Wheat Kings came out. And it was about David Milgaard and his faith in himself, and about Joyce and her absolute faith in her son's innocence, and about our big country and its faith in man's fallibility, and about Gail Miller all those mornings ago just lying there, all her faith bleeding out into that Saskatoon snowbank. And like, I read that last line and I was like, yeah. Holy crap. Like, and so then I ended up doing a bit more research into it, and I was a little, I think, disheartened, because when I went to look up Gail Miller, because I said, well, I don't really know much about her and I would like to know about her. And the first couple of links I would come to, if I clicked on her name, it would take me right to a page about David Milgaard. And so, and I appreciate, like, what the man went through was terrible, right? It was awful. But I was texting Devin last night because I said, I feel really conflicted because, like, I love the song and I feel bad for David Milgaard. But I said, I feel like somewhere in here we lost the voice of Gail Miller. And that kind of made me sad when I was thinking about that last night. Because, I mean, she was 20 years old and, yeah. And brutal. Like, her murder and she was sexually assaulted. It was just absolutely terrible. And I do, again, like, this does not take away from David Melgaard. I get it. But as I was saying to Devin last night, I said, the thing is, as I said, I know that those 23 years were tough, but he was released when he was 40 and he lived another 29 years. And I get that you have trauma from that, but he still got to live, right? And we were talking about how Gord, towards the end, as far when he was coming out with his advocacy, and I just loved that so much about how much he cared about other people, even as he was facing such a tragedy. And I said to her, I said, you know, I said, if he had known back then about the plight of, like, the missing and murdered Indigenous people too, he would know, he would have been fighting for it. He would have been a huge advocate. He would have been on the front lines as far as trying to track these people down, right? Mm-hmm. At least that's what I like to think. And I said, and I like to think that he would have revisited Wheat Kings and maybe tried to find a way to give Gail Miller a voice, because he was such a compassionate human being. And I know that's kind of deep and I didn't mean to get so deep on it, but it just was something that really struck me.
It's a really interesting take, and it's something that I never considered, nor have I read anywhere where people consider such things.
Yeah.
You know, so and kudos to you for bringing that up.
I said I hope they don't, I hope JD doesn't not want to use my podcast because I'm kind of conflicted about it. And I mean, I love the song. And I feel a little bit better because I know a bit more. And I was able to find a guy who had written an article about Gail and that talked about her life and about how just who she was as a human being before she was murdered. And I feel like it's just important to understand, like, there was the main story around this song was the murder of a young woman.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Brutal murder. Just, yeah.
It was horrible. And I have a lot of compassion for David Milgaard because when I read about him, it just sounded like he was kind of at loosens. What did they call him? Shuffles. They called him. He was a petty thief. He was only 17 years old. Geez, when I was 17 years old, I was having a baby. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, granted, I wasn't. But and just how, this guy was brutal. This blog post I read about it and talking about how, you know, the cops just railroaded him, manufactured all this evidence against him. And he said, these are the same cops that will take people out in minus 40 and drop them off without their shoes way out of town so they could try and walk back into town and probably freeze to death. Right. So he wasn't very kind. I don't want to say I align with that because I come from a family of police officers and I like to think that most of them are definitely not that way. But I mean, we know there was an injustice and we know that there are cases where evidence is manufactured, and because you want the easy conviction, right?
Well, that's right. He was the patsy, for lack of a better term. He was the, you know, he was easy for them to pin it on.
Yeah. And it was scary for him in jail because of his crimes. He was beaten up a lot, or supposed crimes, I should say, because he obviously didn't do them. But because of what people perceived that he had done, I mean, the prison population doesn't look kindly on things like that, which is weird that there's a moral code in there. But
yeah,
but yeah. So I mean, obviously, his time in prison wasn't easy by any means. And I mean, it's amazing that he did get released and that there is a song that talks about the injustice. I just, again, it's, I think, important to remember that there's a victim at the other end of this and that started it. And I think we need to remember her name and remember that, you know, she was the ultimate victim in this whole thing. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very different way of approaching that song, Jillian from Palmerston. I'm appreciative of being able to talk to you about that today. Is there anything you would like to plug before we say goodbye to one another? Do you have anything online or that people can find or you
want people to find? I don't.
That's all right.
Just a simple primary teacher.
No. No, as evidenced by your song analysis, that's not true at all. So I want to thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. This has been really great talking about Wheat Kings and your Tragically Hip origin story. I really appreciate your time and your exuberance. Let's keep flying the flag, right?
Yeah. And go to the Church of Gord. He has a lot of good messages.
He sure does. I'll listen to that guy any day.
Yeah.
Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Podcasts and such.